to talk about that, Mrs. Short.
Started to talk about just the first thing that I'm very much against is the young man and the young wife who have one or two little children. They get angry over a little spat, and that becomes a very big fight. And the first thing is divorce. Now, when I was married, I had a lot of chances to divorce my husband because I worked very, very hard, and I had the children, and I had to go to work after 2 weeks out of the hospital, and I had to do everything. You know, there was no excuse, or I had nobody to talk to tell them I can't do it. I just had to. I had to work in the store, and I had to work in the house and take care of the children. The thing is that if the people, the women or the men, would talk instead of slapping one another, instead of cursing one another, would talk more and calmly, maybe there wouldn't be so many divorces. It's the most greatest burden of hate that I ever heard in my life. It's so terrible. It used to be only the very rich divorce because they had so much money. Mm-hmm. But today, no matter what, in what circumstances you are, I'll divorce him. I won't stay with him, or I won't stay with her. That, whatever.
I think it's too easy.
It's too easy. That's what it is. It's too easy. And the double life. The double. You know, she has to go to work too, and the children. It breaks my heart to see the children roam around. They don't know what to do with themselves. All right, they have food in the icebox, but it's altogether different when a mother places a dish of food in front of a child and says, "Eat that, sweetheart. It's good." You know, you stand there waiting for him to eat, and the mother has no time to watch her children do anything.
You're talking now very interestingly about women and the way their lives have changed.
And men, too. I want to apply that to men, too. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about the changes you've seen in the lives of women in your lifetime. Have they seemed to you to be big changes as well?
Oh, absolutely. I would. I only had a public school education. I didn't go to high school. I never had the chance. But I always knew what was right and what was wrong. Whenever I did something that my husband didn't like, and I knew that he didn't like me to do that, I would talk to myself. Just calm down a little. Who do you think you are? Don't start anything. What do you want? Somebody else to take care of your children? I wouldn't do anything for anybody else to take care of my children. We had my love. I didn't want them to have anybody else's hate, you know, or whatever. And this is what I recommend. I think it's terrible that people don't talk.
Not enough communication.
Not enough communication, not enough love, not enough little bit of sacrifice. So what of it if you were hurt a little bit? So, you know, it'll come off.
Yeah. How about the freedoms that you see in the world? Now, the freedom, for example, that young women have to make all kinds of choices and careers. How do you feel about that?
Well, I like that, but I still think that when the children are small, you should stay home with them. Give them knowledge that you have. I really learned a lot from my children because as they were going to high school, I knew what they were studying and in college and whatever they were doing. I knew every time Betty was put in the Honor Society or something like that, or Sydney, you know. He won the city civic test. He won the second prize. And it was all wonderful.
Lots of pride.
Yeah, I knew everything what they were doing, you know, and if they had anything good, you know, they were all excited, and I was excited with them. And I try to make little parties for them and their friends. And
I think the family has changed a lot during your life.
I have a grandson who's 30, 31 or 32, and he's going with a lovely girl. She's a nurse in the intensive care unit. And I said, "Well, when are you going to get married? I'd like to, you know, be around." And he says, "Well, I don't know if she's the right girl." And he's been going with her for 2 years or something. So I said to him, "Nobody on this earth know if their partner are the right person. Nobody. You have to live through the thing. You have to go through a process of learning and understanding what the other party does, you know, whether he does it because he's mean or he just wants to hurt you or he just does that accidentally, you know, something like that. I have to laugh at that. I don't know if it's the right girl. I never heard that before. And he's a tax lawyer. Mm-hmm. He's an educated young man, has gone to a lot of universities.
Yes. Well, so you're saying it's a very different world.
Yeah, he thinks there's nobody like me. He says, I don't know, I don't understand it, why you're blessed with so much blessings.
That's a nice thing for a grandson to say.
Yeah, a grandson to say, yeah.
Let's talk about some of the other changes that you've witnessed. You've lived through some wars and through all kinds of...
Oh, and depression. Oh, yes. That was terrible. Depression was awful. I remember that vividly. That was so hard. And through the depression, my son was losing his leg. And my second son, and we had to pay the doctor. The hospital was private. Everything was a private hospital. Mm-hmm. If he gave you a little bit of milk and magnesia, we had to pay separate for that. Mm. Everything. It was New York.
What year was this depression? 'Cause there's...
He was 16, so I was 20 when he was born. I was 36, so it was 1936.
Okay.
The 1936 depression? Mm-hmm.
The 30s, yes. Do you have other memories of the depression that you want to add to this record that have stuck in your mind?
Well, I remember when my husband was going into the chemical business, and he was trying to move into a garage, a double garage mm-hmm. place, so he'd have room to work with. And he found this movie theater that was sunk during the terrible storm we had. You know,
when would that have been?
70 something.
Okay, so this is much later that you're thinking about.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this would have been maybe in the 50s, perhaps, that snowstorm around Thanksgiving. Is that?
No.
Okay. So later than that.
No, earlier.
Earlier than the 50s.
I think it was earlier. I can't remember the date.
Yeah. Well, doesn't matter.
It was a great storm.
And this was in the 1930s. Did you say the storm or during the depression?
During the height of depression.
Oh, so it would have been in the 1930s that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the floor fell down the cellar of that. It was a movie house. It was a movie house.
So he bought that.
And we were able to buy property. It was the biggest joke because in the paper it said, you know, 33-something Preble Avenue. And... it meant that all they wanted, we didn't know that, all they wanted, they said that they wanted 3,000 something for the house. You know, the number was the price they wanted, and we thought that was the number of
the address.
Of the street.
Yes.
So probably it wasn't the paper, we couldn't decipher it.
So he was able to buy it,
yes. You know, and fixed it up. You know, it took a long time to fix up the floors and put cement and everything. So
the properties were easily available then and low priced.
Well, did he make a movie of it again?
No.
What did he
make?
It
was a washing fluid place.
I see.
Yeah, no.
What about memories of the wars, the First and the Second World Wars? Do you have some recollections of those times, some of the kinds of things that happened that affected you?
I had a brother-in-law, my sister's husband, who was in the First World War. He didn't get killed there. He died later. He was sick. And she never knew that she could get support from the Veterans,
Association. What about the Second World War? You were certainly worried about Sidney and what was happening to him.
Oh, my, yes. And, of course, Jack couldn't go because they wouldn't take him without the leg. Mm-hmm. And Abe was in the Japanese area. He was a pilot. I forgot the name of the airplane that he flew. Hmm. It was special to find out the eye of the storm, to see how far away it was, or how it would hit the boys. You know.
So the war came very close to your life.
Very close to me, yeah. Yes. And then Sherman was ready to go to Vietnam. Or
maybe Korea.
Korea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Korea.
Right.
And I already had three. That was Abe and Sydney. No, and I only had two, and then Sherman, he studied Rhodesy. He said, I'll study Rhodesy, Mother, so it'll be easier for me, and maybe, you know, it won't be the...
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about changes in Pittsburgh during the time that you've been here. What kinds of memories do you have about the changes in the city?
Well, we had a grocery store, and we were doing nicely, and farther down the street was Father Cox's church.
This was where this was in the Strip District now that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And what he's year the we one can... that took the soldiers of the First World War and went to Washington, D.C.
Oh, Cox's Army. Right, yeah. That was right near you.
Yes, right near us. We were 2,600, and this was... 1700.
This would have been about when? Can you recall when?
Well, it was
been?
Before we lost the store.
This was after my First World War.
Youngest son was just a few months old. Let's say 1 year, and that was I was. 31 when he was born.
So that would have been in the 1930s that we're talking about. I see. What do you remember about Cox's Army?
Well, I remember that the Father Cox, we used to call my husband Max. He says, I need some rice, I need some coffee, I need some beans. And my husband would give him all that.
Mm. Yeah. And they actually organized, did they?
They organized, and they were living in cardboard tents on the strip, the whole, you know, to the church. Was made up. That's where they slept, those men. They had nothing. And then when they went to Washington, they were being shallowed. Do you know that?
And he led them all the way from Pittsburgh to Washington.
Yes.
And they were shot at by government?
By government to get off the steps, you know.
Who was the president at that time? Do you recall?
Well, 1936.
It would have been Hoover, wouldn't it have? Of course. No, it would have been Roosevelt?
Well, he had just started, I
think. Yeah, okay. So this was... During Hoover's time and before Roosevelt.
I think it was
Roosevelt.
Hoover's time. Yeah.
I see. Well, that was an important piece of history, and that was happening right down the street from you.
Yeah.
What kind of man was Father Cox?
He was wonderful, wonderful, and very jovial, very warm man, very warm. He had a lot of people like him, you know. Well, he worked like anything to get food for them.
What was the march intended for? Why did they march?
Oh, they wanted help. The veterans
in what way?
Wanted help.
Money. Oh, this was a veterans march.
A veterans.
And they wanted support from the government. Is
that
it?
That's the only thing they wanted.
It was very famous.
Instead of taking it from the poorer stores. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they wanted the government to help
them. The government
to help. So that
help.
Was the famous Cox's Army.
Cox's Army, right.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Cox's Army. Yeah. I remember that. But I can just see Father Cox coming into the store. You know, and my husband Max packing everything up for him.
Wonderful. That's an interesting memory.
Did it accomplish anything? What did Cox's army?
No, they went back home. Didn't accomplish anything. They didn't get any money from the government.
Were any of them wounded when they were shot at?
I don't know.
Of them hurt?
I can't remember.
Yeah. So it was really just kind of a sad failure.
It was a failure.
Did Father Cox come back to his church in Pittsburgh then?
Oh, yeah, he was in the church for quite some time. Hmm. Yeah. I don't know when he left or died or what. I had my own troubles. I was in a lot of hard, no money, you
know.
Five children, and my mother and a black woman who has lived with me for 12 years.
Oh, so you had a lot of mouths to feed.
A lot of mouths to feed, and... That's when a friend of ours took my family to his home, and made room for us to stay there, that we shouldn't have to worry about rent.
Do you have any other memories about changes in Pittsburgh that have really impressed you?
Well, when I would go to the hill to get kosher meat, unless my husband would bring a rack of lamb or something.
Mm-hmm.
On what's the name of that little island?
In the hills.
It's a slaughterhouse.
Harris Island.
Yeah. That's where there was a slaughterhouse, and my husband used to go there to get kosher meats and stuff like that.
See, did you shopping in
oh,
the
yes,
Hill
I wanted
District
to say so with the kosher meat. If he didn't get it, you mm-hmm. know, if he didn't buy anything, mm-hmm. I would go to Center Avenue or someplace mm-hmm. like that, or on
Logan Street,
yeah,
yes.
to get Jewish stuff. You
yes.
know. And I remember getting on a 77, what was it, two numbers. 7754.
Yes,
like that.
Right.
And it was the wrong streetcar. I didn't know where I was, and it was a beautiful neighborhood that was gone. And I said, such beautiful houses. I think I'm in the wrong place.
Didn't look like Logan Street. those are good stories of changes.
How about a little more about Logan Street? How was it there in those days,
shopping?
What kind of shops and who went there?
It was, I wasn't that religious. I mean, you know, I was married at 17, and my home wasn't, there was no father, so there was not, you know. But it was only Orthodox. Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Do you remember the stores and what they were like? What kinds of things were available to the Jewish community on Logan Street?
Well, you know, the nice part of it was that Kaufman had the center, the Jewish center there, and that was beautiful.
What do you remember about that?
Oh, I remember a lot of things. In 1934, I was 34 years old mm-hmm. then, and it wasn't long that we were going to have the store closed. That was the last straw. And I said to myself, I must go to the center, to see if I can take some piano lessons. Maybe that'll help me, you know, because I'd go out. I would go in the morning with my husband, but then I left at 3 o'clock to go home and make supper and do whatever mm-hmm. I have to do. So instead of going home one day, I took another streetcar and I went straight for the Center Avenue Kaufman Center. Mm-hmm. And when I got in there, there was a young girl about 15 or 16 standing behind the counter. That's a lesson they have. She's named after the music center.
Oh, Perlo?
Perlo.
Mm-hmm.
She said to me, I said, I'd like to take some lessons, and I want to give lessons so I won't have too much to pay
mm-hmm.
to beginners. So she looks at me and she says, what college did you graduate? But when she said that, I had tears in my eyes, and I walked away, and I said, I didn't graduate any college. Unless you got a degree.
Was Kaufman Center called the IKC?
IKC.
Or the IKS?
IKC.
Yeah.
All right.
Did the children go to the IKC with you? To the Ikes? Did they ever go to that Center Avenue?
Later. Mm. Yeah.
And they had to travel by streetcar to get there?
Yes.
Can you recall what they did there? What sort of classes
well,
they
attended? Well, I had them go to camp, you know, and I don't know what else.
Yeah, to lean into
but
the piano.
But my story of 1934, when I was 34, after I talked with her, she says, well, could you afford a quarter? I says, yes, I can afford a quarter.
So she says,
okay, then you can come and take a lesson, and we'll give the teacher. You give 25 cents, we give her 25 uh-huh. cents. And she has 50 cents for the lesson. I says, all right. So then years later, when we were retired, and my husband and I went to the Jewish Community Center, Squirrel Hill on Murray Avenue, Mrs. Perlow said to me, Mrs. Shore, come here. And she opens the drawer and she takes out a card and she says, remember this card? Did you save everybody's card that
was
came
your
to
me? Membership at the center?
She says, no. She says, I didn't save everybody's card. I says, why did you save mine? She says, you did something to me when you came over and wanted to give lessons. She says, I felt something. I felt so sorry for you.
Mm.
How do you like that?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about piano lessons is a wonderful lead-in to what we want to have you do, and that is play the piano for us on the tape. Are you ready to do that for us?
Sure.
Before that, I have to... Mrs. Perlow was what? Was she in charge?
She was in charge.
She was a college
graduate. She looked so young. She was about 16.
She was the director.
She was the director of the music school.
Mm-hmm.
And also who brought the musicians to the Oakland Theater.
Right. And of course, the music center now is named
after her.
Did you save everybody's card that
was
came
your
to me?
Membership at the center?
She says, no. She says, I didn't save everybody's card. I says, why did you save mine? She says, you did something to me when you came over and wanted to give lessons.
She says, I
felt something. I felt so sorry for you.
Mm.
How do you like that?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about piano lessons is a wonderful lead-in to what we want to have you do, and that is play the piano for us on the tape. Are you ready to do that for us?
Sure.
Before that, I have to... Mrs. Perlow was what? Was she in charge?
She was in charge.
She was a college
graduate, and she looked so young. She was about 16.
She was the director.
She was the director of the music school.
Mm-hmm.
And also who brought the... musicians to the Oakland Theater.
Right. And of course, the music center now is named
after her. Perlow.
Right.
Yeah, I want to get that straight. What about Sidney Teller? Did you ever?
Oh, of course.
We have time to hear a little bit about him.
Oh, right. You want to tell us a bit about
Sidney Teller. What was he there?
He was the director.
The director.
Of the center.
Yeah, the director of the center. And he had his own way of doing things, and you either had to follow or else.
He was in charge.
He was in charge, right.
Yes.
You keep referring to it as the center. Did people call it the Jewish Center, or did they call it the Ikes?
They called it the Ikes, and for instance, I would never say Ikes. I would say center.
Class.
Were there other people associated with the center that you remember particularly? Other people who were involved there, whose names remain in your mind?
No.
We didn't hear much about Sidney Teller.
I forgot the name, the teacher that... Oh, yes, I wanted to tell you something. That for the quarter, I took piano lesson, voice lesson, and also an education about instruments.
Oh, about musical instruments.
Musical instruments.
So you had a whole musical program.
I had
a
whole,
center.
And I would come home and bang on the piano, play, open the windows, and I didn't care who liked it or didn't.
So it was a wonderful kind of opportunity.
It was a wonderful thing for me. Wonderful. Yes. It was wonderful when I was a little girl and for my mother, and it was wonderful for me.
Well, you were a young wife at that time.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Did you sing, too, when you played the piano?
Always sang. I went out singing. I sang at weddings and parties and organizations. Mm. I didn't get any money, but I always got money for my assistant. My pianist. My accompanist.
Yes.
Because my accompanist always tried to bring up the music to my voice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain it.
Yeah.
You wanted
your accompanist to be rewarded.
Got the key, the right key.
The right
for
key,
it.
Yeah.
But tell us, I started writing about Sidney Teller. Is there something else you can tell us about him? He was an important person in the community.
Because at that time we still had the store and I worked in the store.
Okay, then are we ready to go to the piano?
Okay.
Why don't we do that?
Would you like to tell us what you're going to play and why you're going to play it? A little intro.
My hands sweat.
To get it on here.
Okay, and the name of the piece you're going to play?
Okay, I'll give you the name of the piece.
All right.
I had planned to play this, but I think I'll play The Robin's Return. Did you ever hear The Robin's Return?
No.
The Robin's Return.
All right. That sounds lovely.
Who's it by? Tchaikovsky?
Leander Fisher.
All right, we've got Leander Fisher. Okay, we're ready when you are, Mrs. Short.
But this is more like he says, you know, it's... But anyway, Gautier.
You play what you choose, and we'll enjoy it, I'm sure.
Is there any background to The Robin's Return that you would like to fill us in on? Well, what year did he write it? And did he suffer?
It's an old piece, and I don't know who.
Okay.
Oh, you're kidding.
But you can tell us.
We're ready to listen, and you're ready to play.
Okay. I'll dry my hands with a little, because it'll get worse.
Okay.
Horowitz did the same thing. We got 5 more minutes. So it's really so it's okay for this to run quietly, you know, while you're warming up your hands.
That's what all good musicians do.
Yes.
You tell me when to start.
Anytime.
Oh, anytime?
Anytime. 11. You're on.
05, 2, 11, 2.
Already a
big mistake. No one will know.
This is a first.
Switch and you'll be fine.
What, Dan?
Sure. No
I'm
problem.
Sorry. Oh, God.
No problem. Thank you.
such a good tape.
It is.
And we've got this little special added attraction of a musical finale. I mean, how many people can make that play?
Can't beat that.
That's right. That was fine. Just fine. And our notes are all in order.
Well, we still have about 3 minutes to fill in. And now you can ramble. Anything you want to say. Would you like to?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to both of you. You've been so kind and wonderful. And I feel that I'm very lucky. I'm blessed because when I look at so many things that are happening, my children are all together and they're there and I can speak to them and they can speak to me. And I'm not ill, what you say, in bed, you know. I'm still walking and doing what
active.
I want.
You're doing much right. more than walking. Indeed
and,
you are.
So I am blessed. And I bake, you know.
You do indeed.
Yeah. And I don't sew much. It's very bad on my back. And I had orders from the children not to sew. Mm. So.
No more custom-made suits.
Right. Yeah. So what's the difference? They buy the clothes, so I have it on both ends, you know.
Are there some accomplishments you feel especially good about?
I feel very good about the children. I can't believe it, and the grandchildren, none of them were dope or anything like that.
Yes.
Just wonderful, kind and good, and doing their best. It's just a dream come true, but I'm very lucky that it came true with me.
And
I'm very glad to see my son, Jack, walking, doing, and he loves his work. He's a chemist, and he's very kind and smart and all the things that are good.
Yes.
And his wife's lovely, wonderful person. She's been wonderful to me. She's just grand. And they're all very good. Oh, my daughter-in-law's, I'm very close with my daughter-in-law who's divorced. There's an Azalea Bush.
Yes, it's
Freda.
Yes.
She calls me on the phone and sends me cards and letters. That's something.
Sure is. So life is good as you look around.
Very good, regardless of the bad times. A little bit of good covers a lot of bad. You don't need much of the good because the happiness is there, and that's all that's important. It's wonderful.
I'm curious to know, are you affiliated with any particular synagogue?
No, but I was with the B'nai Israel. I sang 15 years in the choir there, twice a week, Tuesday rehearsal, Friday night singing.
That was under which rabbi?
Rabbi Lichter.
Oh, yes.
Rabbi Lichter.
Yes.
That's out
way
in
back.
East Liberty. That's a long trip from here for you.
Well, I didn't live here. I lived on Hebron.
That's right.
Near Stanton. That's,
I know where that is.
Yes.
So you walk down in Stanton, and then you walk towards Negley.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, I mean, you walked. You never thought of anybody beating you up or, you know.
It was safe, in other words.
It was safe to walk. I was once thrown down, and my bag was. But these were little children. They were about 8 or 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I call them idiots, idiots.
Good for you.
They didn't get anything from me. But I mean, in those days, I remember walking with my mother towards East Liberty to buy some groceries. And there weren't any business where I lived down Hebron. It was all residential.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was walking.